is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming back at ya. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got sports all over the place. The U.S. Open wrapping up in front of our eyeballs here as Sam Burns is still your leader, Will, where he is 2 under for the day. Adam Scott back to even in second, and Hatton at 1 over in third place right now. Betting market has Burns minus 115 as your favorite. Scott is 4-1. Hovland 8-1, and Hatton is 9-1 currently. While we're away in the break, a scary situation for the Diamondbacks. Their shortstop, Geraldo Perdomo, tried to make a diving play. Looked like he injured his left wrist. Trainers came out to look at him. He's staying in. So that's a positive development there. Looked like a moment of a scare as Arizona's going to their bullpen to make a pitching change in the seventh, trailing San Diego 6-2. We'll have more on the National League West coming up. Dan Dibley going to join us from 95.7 The Game up in San Diego. The other update in Major League Baseball action, it's Seattle up 6-0 on Cleveland. And the Guardians unable to get anything going offensively. They're 57-1 on the money line to win this game. In-game total is 6.5. I would think about under 6.5, Will. I don't know if we're going to have more runs the rest of this game. I'm not going to get there with it. I cashed a player prop. I don't want to give that money right back. But I think under 6.5 makes sense in this spot.
Yeah, the only issue is you're not going to see the top relievers you wouldn't think for the final, what do we need, 7 outs? So 7 outs to get 1 run. Seattle's not going to use, you know, their closer unless they get into trouble. And if they get into trouble, you know, your bet's in major trouble, if not just an outright loss. Cleveland down 6-0 is probably not going to use their bet. So you're going to see sort of the underbelly of the bullpens. That's what would keep me off of it.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Two lackluster offenses. As we say that, and Cleveland gets a hit with 2 outs. Cleveland gets hit with 2 outs, and all of a sudden things can get out of hand. Let's run down what's happened today in Major League Baseball for those who missed it here. Earlier today, the earliest game of the day, the Reds were an 8-4 winner at the Tigers. That's a plus 153 with Wade Miley starting earlier, Will. Game goes well over the total of 7. And Ellie De La Cruz, 4th home run in 4 games. Man, it's like, he is a confounding player because you want to back him in like the MVP markets because the stats are going to be crazy. But is the team ever going to be good enough for that to matter? Is the batting average going to be high enough? But 4 homers in 4 games, he's getting hot at the right time for them.
Yeah, and the Reds have played pretty well recently. That was everybody's darling before the season. It's interesting. The two teams that, you know, and look, I'll raise my hand. I was there too. Red Sox and Reds were teams that everyone thought were sleepers, and then it comes to a point where when everyone loves you, you're not a sleeper anymore. But two teams that a lot of people were very optimistic on, the Reds and the Red Sox, both starting to play some better baseball here. So, look, as we know, the season is long. We have to sit here in May and June and make proclamations about, you know, this team or that team, and we have to react to certain games and series, part of the job. But just remember, last year, this time, the Mets were dead as a doornail, and they were 2 wins away from the World Series. Ultimately, they played incredible from really June on. And the Tigers were an afterthought, really, to the point where they're trading guys. July 31st, August 1st, they're trading Flaherty. You know, they're trading pieces, saying, you know what, we'll get them next year. Let's rebuild. And next thing you know, they're in a Game 5 of the ALDS. They won, got in the playoffs, beat Houston in that little 2 out of 3 wild card series. And we're a scoobal start away from being in the ALCS against the Yankees. So it's a long season. There's extra spots now with this new age of baseball, with the 6 playoff teams in each league. So teams can make runs. Teams that you think are out of it can certainly make runs here.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that before we're done today. Who's this year's Mets? Who's the team that everyone's counting out? I know we tried it with the Braves and the Orioles in the past. There's another team that lost today that I want to throw your way that I don't know. I think they have the potential to play a lot better. And if things do click for them, I do see them being a playoff team, and they're in the American League, where it does feel a little bit more interesting with the possibilities. Your point about the Red Sox made a clear decision they were going for it. And with that, they called up a couple young kids in the last few weeks. And I think that matters, that they're going to see if these young kids can help them. Roman Anthony coming up. Christian Campbell made the team to start the year. I like that they're going to give the young kids a chance to go for it. But I'm not buying the Red Sox to really make a run this year. However, Red Sox did beat your Yankees today 8-4. Yankees score one run on Friday, three on Saturday, zero today. I'm sorry, not 8-4. 8-4 in the series. The final score today was, what was it, Will? Yankees.
2-0, I believe.
2-0. It's 8-4, yeah. My notes are for the series. Boston outscored your Yankees. Four runs on the road over three games at Fenway Park. It's just not going to get it done for your boys.
Yeah, I mean, you understand. All right, Crochet, that happens. Crochet's really good. But, Bayo and Hunter Dobbins on Saturday to really have the bats shut down as much as they were is surprising. But, again, it's a long season. It does concern you a little bit. This is the exact same time the Yankees last year went into the tank and really struggled for a month plus 6 weeks, where they were just losing games to everybody, losing games to the Whites. They were just a terrible team for a long stretch last year. They got back on track, went to a World Series. I wouldn't overreact too much, but look, the Red Sox seem to have their number. This is 5 out of 6 the Red Sox have beaten them. If they ever got in a situation where they're playing the Red Sox in a series, they are much more dangerous, the Red Sox are, than teams that have better records than them. I don't care. Tigers or Red Sox, give me the Tigers in a short series. I know it's Scooble, but I'd rather see Detroit than Boston. You know, forget it, the Twins, the Royals, yeah. Cleveland, any of these central teams, the Mariners. Boston, to me, is just a scary, scary team. Devers destroys the Yankees. Cora is a good manager. Crochet's an ace. And now you got all this young pool of talent that's up. Boston's a very dangerous team if they can get hot and get in the playoffs. And really, I don't think the Yankees, I wouldn't have much concern about them winning the division, although they're a good team. They're not a great team. What would concern me almost as much as losing these games is the fact that I gave the Red Sox a little pep rally here. Yeah. I gave the Red Sox a chance to start their engine, and maybe that comes back to bite me.
Also, earlier today, the Phillies, an 11-4 winner over Toronto. Will, I placed a couple futures bets related to this game. Zach Wheeler, 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned, 9 strikeouts. Drops his ERA to 2.76. Nick Castellanos with a grand slam in the game. I bet Zach Wheeler, and I had it up at VSiN.com/picks on Monday or Tuesday, and I bet him to win the NL Cy Young. And I understand it's Paul Skenes' award. I understand how awesome he's been. But he's still a young pitcher. And Zach Wheeler is a guy who, if you look at his career, 26 starts going back 5 years. He always is somehow healthy the entire season. The only time he misses starts is from like a week ago when he was out because he had his fourth kid. I just think for a guy who's going to be in the conversation up until the very end, 12-1 just felt too long. Whereas if I can get a shorter number on Skenes and laying it in the market, where I think it could come down to Skenes and Wheeler potentially, I just think I created an opportunity to bet later. I don't know if Wheeler wins it, but I know he's not fading into the dark with his opportunity here.
Wheeler's awesome. Can't argue with the bet. Getting those kind of odds, who knows what Pittsburgh does with Skenes or an injury. Skenes has been really good, but he's not invincible. Wheeler, to me, is underrated. He's steady. He doesn't have 102-mile-an-hour fastball like Skenes, even though he does throw very hard. He doesn't have the supermodel girlfriend, but he's just steady as a rock. He is a really, to me, underrated pitcher. I think that's a really, really solid bet. That's a guy. Mets could use a guy like Zach Wheeler, could they not?
Dude, they traded him for – look. They got him in the Beltran trade, and they didn't re-sign him because of the Wilpons. We don't acknowledge things that happened pre-Steve Cohen anymore because that is a different era. Those are the dark days, and those days are over. We don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. We have the money now to buy whoever we want. It is unfortunate, though, to watch a guy who you basically stole from the Giants organization for a rental turn into a perennial Cy Young candidate. That is a bit frustrating. I will give you that. I want your thoughts on this.
Hall of Famer? Wheeler going to be a Hall of Famer? Or did he start too late?
No.
You don't think so?
No, and he missed. Yeah, he started a little late. Also missed the season with an injury.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough.
This version of him's a Hall of Fame pitcher, though. If he could bang out, and I saw today that he plans to retire after age 37, which I guess would be after 27. So this year in 2 more years, I guess. You put together 3-4 more of these, he's close. He's awesome. He's really.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, this version of him is a Hall of Fame caliber pitcher.
I saw that report as more of a speculation. I didn't see an exact quote from him saying that he's going to do that, but I understand the sentiment. His 162 game average is a 3.31 ERA, 14-9, and 216 strikeouts in 208 innings. It's great. It's great. It's just not Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's close, but like. This may offend people. Is Zach Wheeler better than Mike Mussina?
It's hard because pitching is, man. Yusina is underrated because that was such a pitching hitting dominant era. That's a good comparison. But this version of Wheeler, I mean, Yusina wasn't in the, did Yusina win a Cy Young? I don't know that he did. Wheeler's like a top three Cy Young guy pretty much every year. If you put together 6-7 top three Cy Young seasons, to me, he's in the mix. He's probably short. You're right. He just got started too late.
You know,
but if you give me this version of Wheeler over, you know, another three, 4 years, I don't know. This version is a Hall of Fame level
I might be wrong about Wheeler. I comparing him to Yusina was the perfect one. 162 game average. He's a 3.68 ERA, so well higher than Wheeler. 226 innings and just 178 strikeouts. He never won a Cy Young. You know, I do this where I don't believe certain guys are Hall of Famers, but I also have to play the game of if you let people like Harold Baines in, well, now I have to have conversations about other players because you've changed what the parameters are of what makes up a Hall of Famer. So with that said, my initial reaction was no, but if he does two more years like he's doing right now, he's probably in the conversation. That is a good point by you. Let's see. Profit X.
Yes, no, Wheeler's really good.
The NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup are here, and Profit X is offering the best odds all playoffs long. Profit X is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, and it's the first of its kind in the U.S. You make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download Profit X today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month.
Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you joining us however you may be consuming the show. YouTube TV, the VSEN Watch app, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Final score in Seattle. The Mariners top the Guardians 6-0. Thanks to a grand slam from J.P. Crawford, we had over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI that gets home. Wish maybe we would have done the home run prop. But, Will, I don't know about you. Every time I place a home run prop, everything fails for that hitter. If I don't place it, I just go total bases or hits, runs, RBI. That has a chance to clear. And they may hit a home run also. But if I bet the home run prop, we're dead in the water. So that is the issue for me.
It's not my market. Not my market. I feel like I know it's a popular one. People like the long shot payouts. Yeah. People like to parlay them and get just the monster lotto type payouts. I never feel like the bang for the buck is there. I mean, you bet guys like Judge. All right, yeah, Judge, good guy to bet at home or bet 2-1. I don't know if that's a great bet. Not the market for me. I understand why people like it, but that's just one that I don't dabble in a lot. I don't. Experiment once in a while, but don't have a lot of success when I do.
U.S. Open and Sam Burns with a birdie, and he's now 2-under right now, and the market adjusts. He is a $2 favorite right now at the U.S. Open as it's raining. There was a weather delay a little bit ago for about, an hour and a half, hour, something like that, and now they're back on the course, and it seems the course has changed a little bit through the weather, and we see umbrellas out there. So they're playing through the rain at the moment to finish this crazy U.S. Open. Burns your favorite, minus $2. Adam Scott, plus 360. Carlos Ortiz is 11-1, followed by Hovland, 16-1. Hatton at 22-1. And that's because Ortiz is now 1-over in third. Adam Scott at even par is in second place right now, Will.
Yeah, Scott 360, Ortiz 11-1. My boy Victor Hovland, it was a good run, Victor. Thanks for nothing. 16-1. Better luck next time to you and to me. I don't know. Is there a bet to be made right now? If I gave you a free $100 bet, would you just try to, hey, Burns, I'll take a $50 payout and just be on my way? Who would you take a shot on if I gave you a free $100 bet, which I'm not giving you, by the way?
Okay. Just to be clear, thanks for the clarification, because I was ready to rock. I was ready to go long shot. I thought about Burns at minus 120 for a moment there, and I said, hold on. This course is crazy. There's weather playing a role. I can't lay it. I think I would stay away completely because the course is nuts. So much could happen. If you lay $2 with Sam Burns in this position at a normal course, totally understand that. But he could have a meltdown at any of these holes at any point in time. And next thing you know, you just laid a price, and he could be a plus price two holes later.
Yeah, and as we're seeing this hobbling, like I said, 16-1, not much of a movement here, but it's amazing. These odds do change very quickly. I always think of like NBA as a sport where you get just rapid movement in the lines based on a possession, couple of possessions, and you can create some nice middles. But golf is one where you look every 30 seconds, every minute, this thing is changing. So fascinating to watch. Burns in good shape, but you know, the pressure too. It's not just the strokes and the weather and all that stuff. There's the human element of, man, this guy's never won a major. Does he get a little tight? Does he grip it a little tight here? And especially on this course with these conditions, does he have a hard time holding on? I'm curious. I texted a few people. I haven't found anybody that has it. I know Circa between rounds will post a yes/no price on all these guys, but I don't know if live. Now, I think if it gets to a certain point where Burns is minus 400, they'll do Burns versus the field. But I don't think we're at that point yet. You guys can tweet at me or tweet at Dustin if you see that, Burns versus the field, because that would be an interesting market if they posted that. But I don't know, nothing for me here. So who did you say, by the way? You kind of – did you pick anyone?
No, look,
I'll keep my $100 then.
I can't lay $2 with Burns. I would just say Scott at plus 360 because he's in second at even.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. I can't lay 200. That's all I know. I can't lay 200. So it is.
I should give you a free bet too, because you seem bummed out. I know the Sasaki injury has been weighing you down recently. You feel bad for him. You feel so bad that it's really, you know, affected your day-to-day life. So I might have to give you a free bet.
Look, I know people
you're feeling down.
I know people think like I'm like this evil person, but like I do have compassion. I do have compassion for athletes sometimes when things don't go their way. Then I hate the cop out of, well, they're millionaires. That's what they get paid for. Okay, just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean like you can't feel bad for someone when everything's falling apart in front of them. And that's what happened for Sasaki. Speaking of falling apart, things are falling apart for the Knicks head coaching search. I don't know if you've seen the updated odds, Will, but the New York Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau after making an Eastern Conference final. And they very clearly had no plan. Because if you're going to fire someone who gets you that close to a championship, or at least the finals, you would think there was someone in mind that you thought was out there that they would go out and get. Instead, they've flirted with coaches in the NBA who already have jobs. Jason Kidd, right, and Quinn Snyder and Billy Donovan, just to mention a few. And they've been turned down every step of the way. It's like a desperate housewife who only goes after married men. Like that is the New York Knicks right now. They think they have something so great to offer, someone's going to leave their family on Father's Day, by the way, I'm talking about this, leave their family for them in that situation. And the New York Knicks now, the odds to be the next head coach for the organization that I root for, it's one of the more depressing odds screens you're ever going to see, Will. Mike Brown's your favorite at plus 105. Taylor Jenkins, who was fired by the Grizzlies, at plus 150. Johnny Bryant, a former assistant under a few good coaches, at 4-1. Michael Malone is now up to 5-1, and then it gets a lot bigger from there. If I was going to tell you there's one name to either bet or one name you think the Knicks should be interested in, who would it be on this list?
Boy. The hold is so egregious on these. I mean, what are the odds again? And Jenkins and Brown were both under $2. And that only covers two of the options. You got, there's just so many different guys. The hold is egregious here. The prices are egregious. I think the only way you bet winning this stuff, win betting this stuff, is you get inside information. And I don't have that, unfortunately. I don't know. I mean, you're really going to fire Thibodeau for Mike Brown. I can understand. I think it was harsh to fire Thibodeau. I can understand it, though, thinking, you know what? He's Buck Showalter. He's got a ceiling. Sure. He can get you to playoffs, but he's too stubborn. He doesn't use his bench. He's not innovative enough. And our team's not good enough. We need a ceiling raiser. Thibodeau is a floor raiser. He's not a ceiling raiser. I get that. But, boy, Mike Brown. My guess is it would be Jenkins, just because it feels like there's more upside. That was a strange firing. He did a decent job with the Grizzlies. I mean, they were what? A two seed the past, recently they were in contention for a two seed pretty late this year. I guess it would be Jenkins.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm curious. I don't think enough has been made of the fact that this dynamic between Jalen Brunson is their best player. Jalen Brunson's dad, Rick Brunson, is an assistant on the staff and apparently doesn't get along with Thibodeau. To me, when there's smoke, there's fire.
No, they're best friends.
Jalen's pulling the strings, but
no.
I think. I think something's going on there.
No, Thibodeau and Rick Brunson are best friends, going back to like either playing or coaching at like the University of Maine, New Hampshire, something like that. He's known
because I had heard there was a falling out, but again, I don't know firsthand. But I had heard that they weren't getting along great.
Other players, I think, didn't love the dynamic of your best player is very close with your head coach. I think that was an issue. Look, Taylor Jenkins, I'm sure, is a fine head coach. He's done nothing in his career to warrant being a plus 150 second shot on the board here to be the next Knicks head coach. Mike Brown, if you fired Thibodeau to hire Mike Brown, congratulations. You just went from not being capable of winning a title to still not capable of winning a title. I'm looking at these.
Who would you hire?
Okay. Let me punch some holes real quick. Rick Brunson, you're not going to promote him based on everything we talked about. Michael Malone, who is he without Nikola Jokic, the best player in the world? You can't hire Mike Budenholzer. I can't believe there's even talks of James Borrego, who's been a failure in the NBA. Steve Nash, who's a podcast host with LeBron, that's the best thing I can say about his coaching acumen. John Calipari at 25-1, I'd say is interesting, even though he can't coach. Because at least some of his former players, who are some of the best players in the league, may want to join him there. Jeff Van Gundy at 30-1 is legit. But then James Dolan has to admit he was wrong about Jeff Van Gundy 20-something years ago. And I don't think James Dolan, who is the mastermind behind all of this happening and the dysfunction being back within the organization, I don't think he's willing to do that. But Van Gundy went to Boston, helped them win a title, helped improve the Clippers' defense a year ago, and he's younger than you think. He's still in his early 60s. So he's got years left to be a head coach. Monty Williams, 30-1, is the most hilarious one on this board. Monty Williams didn't want to be the Pistons' head coach. They begged him by making him the highest-paid coach in the NBA. They fired him a year later, hired J.B. Bickerstaff, and made the postseason and pushed the Knicks to the brink. What are we talking about Monty Williams as an option? That guy does not want to be an NBA head coach. I would actually think about Rajon Rondo at 50-1. At least you're going outside the box.
Goodness.
At least you're taking a swing. And then I'll give you
– going to be the coach.
I'm going to give you three names. Micah –
Phil Jackson.
Micah Norry, Dave Bliss, and Chris Quinn. You know why? I know nothing about those three people, which gives them a leg up of 90% of the other names available to be bet on to be the next head coach. At least do something different. Don't recycle the same names because you think they were good like 3 years ago. This whole head coaching search is asinine. They had zero plan in place. We have a plan in place for the next segment. Kevin Durant's next team odds, plus a little Sunday night baseball. Dodgers and Giants, I've got a player prop on the other side.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Happy Father's Day to everyone out there who celebrates. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We appreciate you joining us this afternoon. As we've got everything covered across the board, currently ongoing is the U.S. Open. A bit delayed because of some bad weather. And at the moment, let me get you an update on the leaderboard where Sam Burns is your favorite. He was minus $2 a moment ago. He's 2 under through 10. In second place, Adam Scott, even par through 10 as well. Carlos Ortiz is in third. He's 1 over through 11. And Tyrell
plus 450 now.
Tyrell Hatton and Victor Hovland and J.J. Spahn, both 2 over at the moment, all through 11. So a lot to
something
update
must
there.
Have happened, though. Something must have happened because Burns went from minus 160 to we went to minus 105, minus 110. And Ortiz, Scott, Hovland, and Hatton have all creeped up. Hovland was like 16-1, you know, a minute, 2 minutes ago. That's been cut in half. Hatton's down to 9-1. Ortiz, I haven't seen this low at 4-1. Scott has dropped back here to 8-1. So again, the fluctuation with these odds is very fascinating to follow.
All right, I'm jumping in with you on Victor Hovland. We're going to go plus 650. This may be the kiss of death.
But let's go.
But I'm jumping in on Hovland. There's a lot of golf to be played here. He's still got eight holes to get through here, Sam Burns. And that shift in the market is intriguing.
You know,
plus 650. So okay. I think he was about 6-1 to start the day. And he's one of two names I know of the names we just mentioned as not a golf guy. So let's do it. Let's ride. Let's have some fun. As the U.S.
Open.
Big shift. Plus 130 on Burns.
So something happened.
Rick, our producers, tell me he shanked a shot out of the bunker. plus 130.
Man.
Ortiz plus 360. Hovland plus 650. 7-1 on Adam Scott. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, that is a big shift here, as this course is just crazy, and the weather is just adding to it as well. I mean, Oakmont Country Club, they couldn't make it more difficult. There's bunkers everywhere you look, I guess, to make up for no water hazards. And because of that,
right,
and no one's safe. No one's safe. And at this point, if there's another shift in the market, I may bet into that as well, because now I'm pot committed at Hovland plus 650, Will.
All right. We'll get back to the golf in a second. I just sent you something.
I retweeted it.
Major League Baseball has a major problem. I don't even know if it's a problem, because I don't know. Baseball is not as big a betting sport as definitely football, maybe not even basketball. If this happened in another sport as popular as football, there would be such an uproar from bettors, from customers. I mean, there'd be riots. There'd be protests. This is the Royals-A's game. The A's second baseman drifts out a routine pop-up and drops it like a little leaguer. And they call it a base hit. I mean, that in no way, in no league of baseball, Little League, Babe Ruth, high school, there's nowhere T-ball that's not a base hit. That's an error all the way. The fact that they gave that a hit, you say, who cares?
It's official
scoring. If you have bets on that hitter, if you have bets on the pitcher, hits allowed, earned runs, if he comes around to score, that's a disgrace. I guess, you know, me, you, people listening, I don't know if enough people care, and I don't know how it gets changed. But somebody's got to be held accountable for this. I see this isn't a one-off either. I see this stuff all the time. I'll bet it's allowed. I'll bet these props. That's insane. That's a ridiculous, absurd, disgraceful scoring. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, the second baseman for the A's literally is underneath it and just doesn't close his glove at the right time. If the sun played a role in it, it's irrelevant. The whole point, is it an error? Should the play have been assumed as an out? 100%. The play we're referencing here that Will retweeted at Not The Will Hill on X, it's an out every step of the way. There's no way to look at it where it's an error. I'm sorry. We have a problem in baseball where they want to give these offensive players the benefit of the doubt. And with that, the people scoring plays mess these things up. And remember, that is a home Kansas City scorer, right? That is always at that stadium, always doing Royals games, and it's a Royals hitter with the pop-up. So because of that, it's going to get corrected, but here's the problem. What happens with the better? What if the bet gets played? But the bet gets paid out, and then people who were wrong get it graded as right. People who were right get it graded as wrong, so the money's going to the wrong people. That is a big issue in the sport. We see it all the time with football, Will, where – there'll be a stat correction on a Monday after the Sunday game, and you go, hold on, the ticket was already ruled a loser, and you're telling me that I actually got over by 1.5 yards. Like, this is an issue we run into. If people are going to be able to bet on these things, and the leagues are going to have partners that are sports books, they are obligated to get these calls correct.
Yeah, and what you said, I think, is a key thing. The fact that it's a Royals scorekeeper. They probably, you know what, these players make a lot of money. And I don't know what's happening. I'm not implying anything nefarious.
No.
But you know what, you see that guy at batting practice next day. Hey, I gave you the benefit of the doubt on that one. Hey, here's dinner on me or something. I mean, I could see a scenario playing out like that. That's a ridiculous just scoring there. There's that, the interpretation of that. If your interpretation of that play, a routine pop-up is dropped, sun or no sun, and the sun's not even that bad.
No.
If you watch that play and say, you know what, that's a base hit, you're not qualified to be scoring these games.
The sun's not an excuse in 2025. I imagine sunglasses were invented, I don't know, 100 years ago, something like that. Like, it's not an excuse if that's what leads to a drop ball. That is 100 times out of 100 times, the play you're referencing is an error. And if I would have bet, like, under on the pitcher, his hits allowed in that spot, and it goes over on that play, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Would you agree if this was football and it was a more publicly bet sport, you know, if we're sitting here watching Sunday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Bills and you get something that egregious, that it would just be such an outrage, there would be such an outrage that it wouldn't last? Do you agree with that?
I think all the big sports books, the DraftKings, the FanDuels, the ones like that, I think they would offer in goodwill a refund on those, or maybe they'd grade them all winners. But at the same time, I don't know what you do there. If you've already graded some people a winner, you can't pull that money back out.
So, no, I I just mean there would be an impetus to clean up the scoring. That was that egregious. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there'd be a ton of complaining because it would be such a thing with more eyeballs on it that there would be just more attention given to it. So, yeah, I think there'd be more complaining. And then that's what would happen there. And it's annoying when it happens. I just think it's unacceptable to get these things wrong. It's 2025. We're betting on these sports. But more importantly, we have so much precedent on what is and what isn't to get these things right. I know that they technically have to score it immediately in the game, but maybe we have to change that now. Don't score it immediately.
That's an easy one, though.
Why don't we review it?
That's such an easy one.
I know, but maybe if you have a question, you send it up the line, and there's some official scorer at the MLB offices that has to sign off on what it is. Maybe there shouldn't be one official scorer for games anymore. Maybe we should have to have two or three where there's a consensus. Because to get that wrong, I mean, if two out of three people got that play wrong, Will, you'd have to fire all three of them in the booth.
Yeah. No, and the problem is it's not like this happens all the time. Maybe we're spending too much on this. But if you bet baseball routinely and you bet it diehard every day and you bet these type of props, you see it all the time. Just kind of routine ground ball to shortstop. It gets booed. We'll just give him a hit. I mean, and I think your point is a good one, too, where these averages are so bad. I think we said earlier the major league average now is like 243, 244, that they want to look – they want these hitters to look better. They don't want it to be such an embarrassment where every guy you go look up and everybody's hitting, you know, 210, 215. So they're trying to boost the averages. But to me, that's completely, completely ridiculous.
All right, 8-2 is the score in Arizona with the Padres on top of the Diamondbacks. Padres at the plate with a runner in scoring position, but a ground out will end that inning. So we'll go bottom nine. Do the Arizona Diamondbacks have magic? Will, 87-1. They're down 6. They had another insane comeback last night. Is 87-1 enough to get the juices flowing to work out a sweat here?
Probably not. But you know what? I probably wouldn't have said that the previous three times. But no, probably not. I mean, 87-1. It feels less likely than that. But you know what? I wouldn't even say a pizza bet. If you're gonna do it, cup of coffee bet just for fun. But
you know
I wouldn't co-sign that bet. I'm not making that bet. I wouldn't recommend that bet.
You know, we're here for 20 more minutes. This is we're here for 20 more minutes bet.
Oh man.
You know what? I don't have a money line available out here. If I can get a money line and it's greater than 70-1, I'm gonna bet it. I'm just gonna let you know.
Parlay it with Hovland.
No, because Hovland's 7-1 now. His odds have gotten longer since I bet him. Hey, you want to be smarter than me and bet smarter than me? Well, get a VSiN Pro subscription. Get a full year right now. You can get our guy Josh Applebaum, one of the sharpest guys around. He's got a new book coming out, the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. And you can get all that plus the VSiN Pro subscription for $199. You sign up now, you'll get instant access to the daily email with all the best bets from hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. And by my math, Will, that means the zero prep I've done for the NFL season. It means we got to start doing that to get ready for the NFL betting guide. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Sunday Night Baseball features the Dodgers and the Giants. I've got a player prop on a lefty killer who I think at a plus price is priced at the wrong number. That's coming up next on Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us all afternoon long. As some of the bets have gone better than others, as we have a final in Arizona, the Padres end up winning 8-2. 8 runs on 13 hits for the Friars on the road. They take care of business and win that one in a fascinating NL West, Will, where we have an NL West tilt when it comes to Sunday Night Baseball tonight. It is the San Francisco Giants heading to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers with Kyle Harrison versus Dustin May on the bump. Right now, San Francisco plus 147, Dodgers minus $1.80, and the total is 9. Dodgers enter this game up one game on San Francisco in the division. It's the rubber game of their set. San Francisco won Friday. Sorry, I think San Francisco won Friday. LA won Saturday, 11-5. Giants have won 8 of 10. 8 of 10 for the Giants, who just, they keep plugging away where every time I start to think they're going to fall back, they keep winning. So time to stop doubting them. They might be for real. Harrison's allowed 8 earned runs in his last two starts. He actually has a pretty respectable ERA against the Dodgers, 3.52 over 3 career starts. And he's been better on the road this year, 2.65 ERA away versus 9.45 at home, which is very uncharacteristic for Giants pitchers. But he's facing a Dodgers team that is fourth in baseball in OPS against left-handed pitching. Dustin May's coming off 6 earned runs in 5 innings against San Diego on Monday. He has a 1.62 career ERA in 5 games versus the Giants. He's also much better at home, 2.97, 5.94 away. I'm going to go with a player prop here, Will. We're going to look at Teoscar Hernandez. Over 1.5 total bases at plus 104. He's hitting 383 versus lefties with 5 homers and 5 doubles. So you do the math. 18 hits this season against lefties, 10 of them for extra bases. That means we have a potential here to go over 1.5 total bases at plus 104 with Teoscar Hernandez. As far as the side and total are concerned, I would lean over, and I can't touch the side. The lean would just be on the over.
Lean would be the Dodgers, but it's expensive at $1.80. Maybe it's a situation where the Giants score a run in the top of the first, and then you get the Dodgers at a much more reasonable, you know, $1.20, $1.30 or something like that before they even come up to bat. That might be the way I'd play it. Be a lean to the Dodgers, nothing else. Harrison's numbers aren't great. May has got the stuff. He's actually been healthy this year with the Dodgers, you know, losing pitchers. The pitchers dropping like flies all over the place. Would expect the Dodgers to win. I still don't buy the Giants. A lot of their wins have been by one run. Chapman on the IL. I think there's a fluky nature to the Giants team. So I like the Dodgers here, but not quite enough to actually lay the $1.80.
Yeah, totally agree with that right there. As far as the U.S. Open's concerned, the weather delay has us where we have live action currently ongoing during the show, and we officially have no golfers under par up at Oakmont Country Club. Sam Burns is your leader. He's at even right now, and he's plus 150 in the market. Tied for second are 4 golfers: Hatton, Ortiz, Scott, and Spahn. Scott's $4, Spahn's plus 450, Hatton plus 550, and Ortiz is back up to plus 750. I joined you on Victor Hovland momentarily ago. If I want to bet him again, I can get a better number, Will. He's now 11-1, so I may have been the kiss of death there. Anything jump out to you with the golf where this is just craziness?
This is just crazy. The fact that Spahn, who was in control most of this term, not in control, but right at the top in terms of the favorites, the leaderboard, he had flown off the radar today. He's back in the mix here. We haven't seen his name at the top of the odds in a while, but he's catapulted up where he's basically the second co-favorite here, plus 450, right, with Scott, same number. Burns plus 150, the lowest we've seen Burns get, highest, however you want to phrase it. $1.60, $1.70 in that round. You actually got to minus $2, minus 200 at one point, very briefly, before a rough stretch here. Now he's plus money again. We've seen just these guys kind of alternate. Hatton, Ortiz, Hovland, as far as being second, third, fourth. McIntyre still sniffing around. You know, if Scheffler, who's 350-1, Scheffler is just a putt here or there from really being in good shape to win this tournament. He just couldn't get it done when he needed to. Missed a bunch of makeable putts. That's the thing. When he's not dominant, it's the putter that's not there for him. So it's anybody's tournament. I don't know. Same exercise. Who do you like here? If I give you a hypothetical $100 bet, who are you putting it on?
We are going to go with – just going to go Adam Scott. Every time I say his name, he's 4-1, and he's the second shot on the board. Seems to be the most consistent option here. But do I feel good about that? Zero. I mean, if you were going to bet someone, what would you do?
What's Hovland's at 12-1?
Yeah, you're going to go back to Hovland. How many bets can we lose on Hovland?
Just as we say that, wow, just as we say that, Burns goes to plus 240 and Spahn is up to plus 330. So this would be a very surprising trajectory to be, you know, the favorite or the co-favorite for so much of the tournament, basically fall off the leaderboard, fall off the face of the earth, just completely disappear on a Sunday, then reemerge late and actually win it. That would be a wild trajectory. But Spahn is about as in it as anybody here. Scott now plus 360. Ortiz 7-1. Hatton plus 450. Hovland 11-1. McIntyre still 30-1. anything is possible on this course. I'm excited with no NBA Finals game tonight, no NHL. The fact that we got a little, you know, hour, 90-minute rain delay here to extend this. I'll see if they will be interesting to see if they can finish this before it starts to get dark. I know 8:50 is kind of the sundown time, but you know, probably 8:20, 8:30 is about as late as you can play before it starts to get dark. So fascinating night of golf here to replace the NBA and NHL having a night off.
Yep, and introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the first $500 part of the trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. Then First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN then completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We're closing up shop here on Live Bet Sunday. Thanks for hanging out, however you may be doing it. SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. Just want to get, Will, your thoughts on NBA Finals. Game 5 tomorrow in Oklahoma City. Thunder laying 9.5. Totals 223.5. I would look to the under in that one. I would also look in the player prop market. Miles Turner, I mentioned he's doing nothing. I think that continues. Under 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And I'd also go over 13.5 points, rebounds, and assists on TJ McConnell off the bench for the Pacers. I don't think he's scared. I think they need him on the floor more. He won't be intimidated on the road. Cleared this number in games 1 and 2. Also went over in game 3. I think he bounced back from the other night and goes over here in game 5. What do you think?
I think OKC rolls. I think the fact that the Pacers had a chance to land, maybe not the knockout punch, but a semi-knockout punch to go up 3-1, and they just got bogged down offensively. They got shut down by this OKC defense. SGA, say what you want about calls and no calls and travels, whatever. SGA and the Thunder made the shots they needed to. SGA had 15 points in the fourth quarter. The Pacers had 17 points in the fourth quarter. OKC did a great job closing that game out. Down 10 in the fourth quarter, down 2-1 in the series, game 4 on the road. The fact that they won that, man, and the fact that they won that only shooting 3 of 17 from 3, only, I think, 10 assists for the game, I think that's a very dangerous, very troublesome sign here for the Pacers. I think OKC runs them out of the building. I think OKC covers the 9.5 on Monday night here in game 5.
And we mentioned, let's try and find in the next 90 seconds a baseball team that we think could be this year's Mets, kind of written off. No one's talking about that can make a run.
Let me guess. Can I guess what you're thinking?
Uh-huh.
You said it's an American League team. And I'm just going to guess. I know
we're buying very low. It's the Royals. We're buying very low. Off the sweep of the A's, look, they're not going to face teams like the Yankees who kill lefties every week, and that did them in badly at the beginning of this week. I know they had a team meeting, but if Caglione produces offensively, Pasquantino starting to hit for Kansas City, I think the offense will be there, and the pitching is a lot better than it was a year ago. Bubik, I think, is legit. I think he continues after a bad start against the Yankees. They kill lefties. They're the best in baseball. Cameron's popped. Lugo off the IL looked better in his last start. They still have Waka. The offense is better than it was last year. The pitching's better than it was last year. I still think there's untapped potential in Kansas City, who's 3 out of a wild card at this point. Kansas City would be my team that comes out of nowhere, Will.
Just saw as Giants-Dodgers is about to get underway, and we're wrapping here. Otani's next simulated game off the mound could be his last, but I was thinking probably not going to have him do rehab starts, because if you do have rehab starts, that takes him out of the lineup and he can't be with the team.
No.
So you just put him right back with the major league team once he's ready and throws all these simulated games. Very unusual.
Yeah, probably have him throw a few innings to start. That's all. All right, coming up next, don't go anywhere. Yeah. Scott Seidenberg's got you covered. Live Bet Sunday rolls on over at Circa. He'll take you through Sunday Night Baseball. Then we finish off the weekend strong. Greg Peterson on Cashing Out. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the day.